Good morning.
Good morning.
What a joy to gather in the house of the Lord and worship the Lord today. Please join me in your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 33. As you're turning there, let me extend a warm welcome to all our guests. This morning, my name is Pastor David Centers. I have the privilege of being the pastor here at New Covenant. And let me say hi to all the kids who are here in worship today. It is so wonderful to hear you worship the Lord this morning, along with mom and dad and the rest of the congregation. And as the old saying goes, that if the church is not crying, it is what? It's dying. And so it is joyful to hear the sound of clamor of little children as they're rustling in their seats and laughing and crying and learning to worship the Lord together with the body of Christ for which they're a member of. And so let me just say it's a real joy to see the children here in worship today. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 33, we continue our sermon series through the Epistle of Ephesians. Last week I preached a message to wives. This week will be a sermon to husbands. And next week will be a sermon to children. So if you are a child, you should come next week and hear a sermon. If you're not a child, then you were never born and you don't exist. So let me encourage all of you to be here next week to hear Paul's instructions for children and their obedience to parents as well. Please join me once again in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word. We are thankful for the privilege and joy we have to gather and worship you. We pray that as the word is read and preached this morning, may your Spirit work mightily in our hearts, planting it deep within our hearts so that it will bear much fruit in our lives. We pray that you will enable me as your preacher to declare your word faithfully, with clarity, and with truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 33. Hear the word of the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. May God bless the reading of his holy and infallible word, and let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Have you ever put together a large jigsaw puzzle? I'm not talking about one of those small ones with only 250 pieces. I mean the kind that takes you all Christmas break to put together. At least 500, maybe even 1,000 tiny little microscopic puzzle pieces that make your brain hurt. If my wife starts a jigsaw puzzle, she cannot sleep until it is finished. And many nights she has stayed up into the wee hours of the morning trying so hard to finish that puzzle piece. If you're like me, the first thing that you do when you open up that jigsaw puzzle and you pour all those tiny little pieces out on the table is you take the front cover of that box and you tuck it in under the bottom of that puzzle. You guys know what I'm talking about, don't you? And you set it right in front of where you will be working. So you have the picture of the puzzle constantly in front of you. Serves as an example for you that as you always start with the corner pieces and then the outside pieces and work to assemble that puzzle together, you have a constant reminder in front of you, a constant example in front of you of what the picture should look like when it is finished being assembled by your hard labor. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 33, Paul presents for us Jesus Christ as the ultimate example for husbands to follow. That as husbands in our marriage, how should we love our wives? How should we conduct ourselves in marriage? And Paul holds up for us Jesus Christ as the ultimate example, the ultimate reminder for us as husbands to constantly look at. And so his call to husbands, not only to the church in Ephesus, but to us today, is for husbands to look to Christ. How are husbands to love their wives? What example can they look to? What if you as a husband had a poor example? Maybe your father was not a good husband to his wife. What if your father died while you were young? What if he was absent from the home? What example can you look to so that you can love your wife as God has called you to do? Well, I've entitled this sermon, Gospel Grace for Godly Husbands. And this is how the Lord provides grace for us as husbands. He provides Christ to us as the ultimate example of how we as husbands are to love our wives, as we see from this text. So if you want to know how to love your wife, look at Christ. If you didn't have a good example growing up, look at Christ. Even if you had the blessing of a father who was a good husband and a good father, he was still an imperfect example, even the best of them. So the exhortation to you is to look to Christ. Husbands, look to Christ. And when you look to Christ's example of how to be a husband, you will see three things from this text. It'll serve as our outline this morning, and I want to encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at this scripture together. First, we'll see that we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Second, we will see that we are to love our wives as our own body. And third, we will see that we are to love our wives by cleaving to her. So let's look at each of these together and work our way through this scripture. Number one, first, how are husbands to love their wives? Paul tells us here in verse 25 with this exhortation, husbands, love your wives. This is the command. This is the call that Paul presents to us as husbands. We are to love our wives. And this command is so important that even here in this small passage of Scripture, we see that Paul repeats this command three times here in verses 25 through 33. I would encourage you later on to read through this passage, maybe later on today, and take a pen or a highlighter and mark those if you do such a thing, that you'll see Paul repeat that command three times here in these few verses. Husbands, love your wives. Love your wives. Love your wives. This word love often loses its power and effect in our culture today. It gets thrown around very flippantly today. Love is misunderstood to be a feeling or an emotion. And love can certainly give us a great feeling of emotions, and it's wonderful to feel love for a person. But biblical love, true biblical love, is more than a feeling. True biblical love is more than a state of euphoria. True biblical love is not something that you fall into so easily and fall out of so easily. True biblical love means that you cherish and have affection for your wife. That's what Paul means here. Biblical love, as husbands love their wives, it means that we cherish them. We revere them. We hold them in esteem. We nurture and provide for their spiritual needs and providing leadership for them. In the home, we provide for their physical needs, their emotional needs. As husbands, we are there for them to cherish them as a gift from God to us. Also, we have affection for them, not just physical affection for them, but we enjoy friendship with them. We become partners with them in life. We enjoy our time with them. We make our wives a priority as partners in grace together. And true love is, as I mentioned, it's more than a feeling. It is a decision that we must make as husbands every single day to love our wives. And if we're honest with ourselves, we'll admit that if you've been married any sort of length of time, there will be days, husbands, that you will not feel like loving your wife. You may feel tired. You may feel exhausted. You may feel frustrated by some ongoing conflict or difficulty. You may feel stressed out because of your job or the pressures of life or of rearing children or paying a mortgage. The humdrum of life can seem to make loving your spouse, loving your wife, difficult. But true biblical love is a decision that we make. It's a decision that we make every day to cherish and have affection for our wife. And there may even be times, and I know wives, this may be difficult to admit or confess, you may not always be so lovable. Now, that's not true of any of the wives who are here today. That's another church somewhere else. They have that problem. That is not a problem here. But as long as sin remains in this world, and as long as we all carry around this sin nature until we are glorified, truth be told, all of us have our moments where we are unlovable, where we are difficult, where we are contentious, where we, as we read the law of God this morning, where we do things with grumbling and complaining, where we are argumentative, where we are difficult to be around, husbands and wives alike. Well, this morning, husbands, the challenge and the call for you and the responsibility that you have from God is to love your wives even when she seems unlovable. The call to you, husbands, is to love your wives even when you think she does not deserve it. Because ultimately, you are loving your wives in obedience to God. You are loving your wives to please the Lord, not because your wife is deserving or a saint or perfect or fulfills your every desire and whim, but because God has called you as a husband to love your wife. He's called you to cherish her, to have affection for her, to provide for her, even when she's unlovable and even when you don't feel like it. Paul holds up for us here in verse 25, Jesus Christ as the ultimate example as one who loves. Look on with me again at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. How, Paul? How are husbands to love their wives? Paul uses this conjunction, as Christ loved the church. Paul is making a comparison here that as Christ loved the church, so husbands are to love their wives. As Christ cares for the church, as Christ gave himself for the church, as Christ loves the church unconditionally, sacrificially, as Christ gave himself for the church in his death upon the cross, so husbands are to follow the example of Jesus Christ, to look upon Jesus Christ as the ultimate example of love, and love your wife in that way, as Jesus Christ loves the church. Paul has already discussed for us here in the Epistle of Ephesians Christ's love. I'll just mention a couple of significant portions in the Epistle of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1, we are predestined to salvation, to adoption, in love, Paul says. In love, he predestined us to adoption. That's Christ's love. That before the foundation of the world, that believers were predestined to adoption. And Paul makes the point to say that that was done by God in love. That's a work of Christ that he's done in love. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5 describes how we were dead in our trespasses and in our sins. But Christ saved us. He brought us from death to life in love. That it's because of his great love with which he loved us, that even when we were unlovable, Christ saved us and gave himself for us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, Paul says, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice to God. How majestic, how marvelous, how sublime to think on the depth of the love of Jesus Christ. Truly, we would join with the Apostle John in 1 John to say that the only reason that we know love and can understand love and to comprehend love is because God loved us first. Husbands, look to Christ. When you look upon Christ, you will see him as the ultimate example of one who loves perfectly, of one who loves sacrificially, of one who made the decision, of one who took the initiative on his own behalf to love the church. Well, what happens when husbands, when we look to Christ? What happens to husbands when we look to Christ's love? Paul explains to us here in this passage that we will be sanctified by Christ's love. And here this portion of the text is applicable not only to husbands, but to all of us. As we look and gaze upon the beauty and the splendor of Christ's love, we are sanctified by his love. Look with me at verse 26 and consider with me the reason that Christ gave himself up for the church is that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor. Three things here in the way and the manner in which Christ loved the church. First, he sanctifies the church. We see that here in verse 26. And this conjunction here at verse 26 indicates for us a purpose, that the purpose for which Christ loved the church, the purpose for which Christ gave himself for the church, is that he might sanctify the church. This word sanctify means to be set apart, that Christ sets the church apart from a common use, from an ordinary use, for a holy purpose. Paul is drawing deeply from the theological well of Ezekiel chapter 16, where Ezekiel describes the parable of Yahweh's bride. It's a parable of God's covenant love for his people, that Yahweh found his covenant people abandoned to death, born and abandoned to death. And he found his covenant people and he saved them, and he cared for that little daughter and nurtured that little daughter and washed her and provided for her and nurtured for her and caused her to grow and betrothed her to himself and crowned her majestically in splendor so that her renown became known to all of the nations. Paul is describing that here for us in the New Testament, applying the same theology to God's covenant people in the church. That as the church, God chose us when we were unlovable, when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, Christ loved us and he found us, he saved us, and he has set us apart for a holy purpose. Paul describes for us the means by which this washing takes place. Look with me here at the end of verse 26. This washing takes place with the word, by the washing of water with the word. In ancient times, brides would have ceremonial baths where they would cleanse themselves in preparation for marriage. Ezekiel describes this in Ezekiel chapter 16, where Yahweh bathes his bride, sanctifying her, setting her apart from ordinary to a common, or from an ordinary to a sanctified, holy purpose to be joined to Christ. That's what Paul's describing here. That's what we find when we look upon Christ, that he is washing us, sanctifying us, and purifying us. Secondly, Christ presents the church to himself in splendor. Look with me at verse 27, that the sanctification has a purpose, that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Christ is working to purify the church, to make the church holy, that even as he has set her apart, even now he continues to sanctify the church and to make her holy. Lastly, we see here that the church will be enabled to stand before Christ holy and blameless. We see that here at the end of verse 27. She might be presented holy and without blemish to Christ. We think of that marvelous day when we will be joined to Christ, when Christ will return in glory and splendor, and the dead in Christ will be raised, and we will receive glorified bodies, that even as Jesus Christ has been glorified, we too will receive glorified bodies, and we will join with our Savior at the marriage supper of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. We will be presented to him holy and blameless. Should I switch this other microphone, by the way? Sorry. I hear a little popping. I recall a time when I happened upon a fellow Christian, stranger, who we soon discovered we were each believers, and we began talking about the church and the struggles of the church in general, and how the church is plagued by sin and scandal, how the church is often persecuted, and how in many places indeed the church meets underground, and the church is indeed mocked even in some places, and how the situation can look bleak for the church at times. And this man just bemoaned, and he cried out, he said, "Well, I suppose one day the church may cease to exist." And I said, "Well, hold on a moment there. The Church of Jesus Christ will never cease to exist. The church currently may look weak. The church may be persecuted. The church may even meet in catacombs, in secrecy, and in privacy. The church may indeed be mocked, but the Lord Jesus Christ will preserve for himself a bride. The Lord Jesus Christ will see to it himself that those for which he died, he will present to himself in glory and in radiance. And husbands, we need this assurance, don't we? That as we go through struggles in our lives, as we go through the challenges of loving our wives as Christ loved the church, we need to know that we are the bride of Christ. Husband, you are part of the bride of Christ. And just as Christ is sanctifying and purifying and enabling his church to persevere through difficulty, through persecution, through sin, forgiving and redeeming, husbands, you need to know you are included in that kind of grace too. That as you struggle through hardships, as you wrestle against your flesh, as you make the decision every day to love your wives as Christ loved the church, look upon Christ and behold him, and you will see one who is working to enable you to do what he has called you to do, sanctifying you and purifying you. So first, as we look to Christ, we see that we're called to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Secondly, we see that we are called to love our wives as our own body. Look with me at verse 28. Paul says, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. The command sounds a little shallow here upon first glance. It's as if Paul were saying, husbands, you know you like to overeat and indulge and sleep too much, and you know you like to take care of yourself that way, so make sure you at least love your wives as much as you love yourselves, you selfish pigs. And that certainly is not what Paul has in mind here. Paul actually has in mind the second half of the greatest commandment. We know that Jesus was asked, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus answered in Matthew 22, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor how? As yourself. Jesus summed up all the law of God in two commands. Love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus was actually quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Leviticus chapter 19, summing up all the law of God. What Paul is saying here is that as husbands, our closest neighbor that we can have is our wife. That if we would love our neighbor as we love ourselves, if we would look for the good of our neighbor, if we would treat our neighbors with benevolence and provide for their needs as God provides us the means to do so, how much more so our own wives? Will we not also care for our wives, who is our dearest and most precious neighbor, as we do ourselves? And then he does draw this conclusion, almost asking a rhetorical question. What sort of person doesn't take care of himself? Each person looks after his own needs. A man would, any sane, logical, normal person would care for his body. He would nourish it and take care of it. So too, any husband will care for and nourish his wife as he does himself. Truly and indeed, a husband's love for his wife is a reflection upon himself. That if he is cruel to his wife, if he is authoritative to his wife, if he is unloving, unforgiving, jealous, and bitter to his own wife, it is a reflection of how he thinks about himself, Paul is saying. But if he loves his wife, if he respects her, if he is kind to her, if he builds her up, if he seeks to meet her needs, truly it is a reflection that he loves himself. Husbands, what if you hate yourself though? What if this is such a challenging command because You lack confidence in yourself. What if you mistreat your own body with alcohol abuse? What if you relieve stress by binge eating? What if you face constant criticism and feel demeaned by a boss, by a father who has long since died? What if you feel emasculated because of a health challenge or a sickness, and it's affected your confidence as a husband? And this call here to love your wives as you do yourselves is not a very good encouragement, because you don't feel too high upon yourself. The call for you, husband, is to look upon Christ. That just as Christ cares for his own body, so he cares for you. Because Christian husbands are part of the body of Christ. Look with me here at the end of verse 28 or verse 29. Christ nourishes and cherishes the church because we are members of his body. Husbands are part of the body of Christ, and any member of the body that is hurting or in need, Christ provides for. Just as you would an achy muscle or a sore joint or a broken limb or a broken finger, you would seek medical attention. If you had a severe cut, you would go and receive stitches for that. If you had the flu, you would seek medical help. Just as any person would care for their own members of their own body, so Christ cares for the members of his church, which is his body, who are hurting, who are going through hardships and difficulties and suffering. Husbands, if you feel criticized, if you feel like you are being challenged to love your wives as Christ loved the church, let me give you a word of encouragement for you this morning. Just as Christ cares for his body, so he cares for you, Christian husband, who is part of the body of Christ. Thirdly, as we look upon Christ, we see that we are to love our wives by cleaving to her. So first, we learn to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Second, we learn to love our wives as our own body. And third, we learn to love our wives by cleaving to her. Paul quotes here from Genesis chapter 2. Look with me at verse 31. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. From the beginning of the creation of mankind, God has established and blessed marriage. Marriage was God's idea. When God created all of the universe, when God created all things that remain upon the earth, and he looked upon them and said that they were very good, he looked at man and said, "It's not good for man to be alone." There was not found for him a helper suitable for him. So God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and from his side, God took a rib and created woman. And the first time that Adam speaks, he is beholding this wonderful creation, this wonderful helper that God has made for him. The Hebrew text provides the emphasis for us, and the English Standard Version translates it well, with Adam looking upon Eve saying, "At last, at last." God has blessed marriage. God has established marriage. And for this reason, we see a few things here that the church has classically held on to, and what this means to be married. And most pastors will go through this with those with whom they do premarital counseling, don't they, Ruth? That this means that a man will leave his father and mother. He will leave and start a new family, that he'll be recognized as establishing a new home, that he will cleave to his wife, that he'll be united to her, and physical intimacy and emotional intimacy, that they will join together in the blessing of marriage, and they will unite together, starting a new family unit with one another. And this was God's plan for all humanity. Paul calls this here a profound mystery. Look with me here at verse 32. Paul says, this mystery is profound. This word mystery needs a little unpacking. What Paul means by the word mystery is something that was once hidden from plain sight, but now in Jesus Christ has been revealed. Is Paul saying that marriage itself is a mystery? No, look with me here at verse 32. Paul is saying that this mystery is that it refers to Christ and the church. Christ's love for the church is a typology of marriage. Rather than looking at marriage and thinking about Christ and his love for the church, we should look upon Christ and his love for the church and think about marriage. You see, if we look at our own marriages to think about Christ's love for the church, it will fall short, won't it? Our marriages are affected by sin, bitterness, jealousy, rage, adultery, divorce, infidelity. Our marriages are plagued by sin. Our marriages are being redeemed. But if we look upon Christ and the love he has for the church, we should be reminded of God's love for us, his sanctifying power in us. So husbands, look to Christ. I'll close and tell you this short story. The renowned pastor and Dr. Reverend Evie Hill, who pastored Missionary Baptist Church in Los Angeles, California for more than 40 years, was one of the most remarkable, powerful preachers of our day. I remember being a little boy and attending a conference, and Dr. Hill was the keynote speaker, and my father leaned over to me and said, "Pay attention, son. He's going to start out slow like a train, but when he gets to full speed, he's going to bring it home." I've never seen in my life a man preach so powerfully to 12,000 men who at the conclusion of his sermon were on their feet shouting for glory. Dr. Hill was indeed extremely gifted as a preacher. And in 1987, he fulfilled a promise that he made to his wife that upon her death, he would preach her funeral. And you can actually go on YouTube and hear the recording of Dr. Hill's sermon that he preached at his own wife's funeral. His sermon text was Job chapter 1, verse 21. "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And he described in detail the blessing that his wife was to him through the years. Through many trials and tribulations and suffering, his wife was a constant source of encouragement and a constant companion to him. Well, let me ask you, husbands, this morning, what if the roles were reversed? What would your wife say about you if she were to stand up and eulogize you at your funeral? What would she think about you on that day? I hope your prayer is like mine, that our wives would say of us, unworthy vessels, that our love was filled with such grace that it was a constant reminder to them of God's love for the church. Let me pray for us this morning. May God be so pleased to enable us to this high calling. Most gracious Heavenly Father, who is worthy of such things, who is able to do such things as we have seen from your word, truly we are not As husbands, we are sinful. We are inadequate. But we find, as we look upon Christ, beauty and grace and truth and mercy. I pray that you will enable Christian husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. May they look to you constantly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.